People like rankings. And in most cases, it's good to be as close to one as possible. But in regards to the World Freedom Index, is it just a coincidence all the allies of the United States are in the top 10 of the index, while all in conflict are in the bottom? What does this say about the credibility and the criteria of the ranking system? Well, I'm Skye Nell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to ask, is the World Freedom Index just a ranking made by the West to add justification into involvement in foreign conflicts? Since 2012, an index of civil liberties has been published by Canada's Fraser Institute, Germany's Liberalis Institute, and the U.S.-based Cato Institute. Now, the annual Freedom Index creates its rankings based on measures of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, individual economic choice, freedom of association, freedom of assembly, violence and crimes, freedom of movement, and women's rights. Now, Switzerland, New Zealand, Denmark, Estonia, and Ireland rank in the top five, with Syria, Venezuela, Yemen, Sudan, and Egypt at the very end, with Iran being sixth from the bottom. But just like with almost everything, there is sometimes a large difference between what is being presented and what is actually occurring. Sure, leaders from countries like the United States, Great Britain, and France can almost never go an entire speech without dramatically saying the word freedom. But ask the citizens of those countries how much freedom they enjoy, and their answers would be different. Even more concerning is how many citizens feel they are enjoying less freedom than prior generations. Joining me now to discuss is Ed Martin, president of the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Ed, thank you so much for joining us. Talk about the Freedom Index. Freedom, what an interesting term these days. There is this technical definition of freedom, and then there's this actual enactment of freedom. Has either changed from where it used to be to now?
Well, you know, you and I were just talking off the air about this. I think the number one thing that we've seen change everything about what's going on is the dominance of big tech and big media together misleading us or not covering something. So if you go to COVID for a second, so I think people now looking back can see the COVID and say, boy, we were told one thing and something else was true, right? And you look at that and you say, this is crazy. Some people are more angry than this is crazy, right? But you look at like the current political international set of issues in America, big tech and big media does not allow dissent from the argument that one side is got a white hat and the other side's got a black hat. And if you do, even if you're in Congress and you jump up and say, hey, wait a second, let's do something different, you get banged down. So when you talk about freedom, you don't have freedom if you can't know what's happening. And I really think that's the biggest change we've seen. So whatever the Freedom Index says to me is almost irrelevant to what's happening on the ground, to your point.
It's almost like two different standards.
Two different standards.
They're saying versus what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And regarding this index, how much credibility do you actually put into it based on the organizations who put it out? When you hear those three terms of who it is, what comes to mind?
Well, one of the fun things about the last 5 years, in the midst of lots of things that worry us, you know, nuclear war, a pandemic, all these things that worry us, is I think we all distrust the experts, right? Now, it's like the mirror of Reagan. Not trust and verify, it's distrust and verify. And when you see these organizations that have an angle, again, it shouldn't surprise us that human beings act, you know, out of self-interest. That doesn't. But you have these organizations that for a long time, decades, we'd all say, oh, well, they've got the common good at heart. Doesn't look like it anymore. So you just kind of chuckle to yourself. The hard part is young people, and you and I talked about this too, our kids and others, they don't know who to trust. Right there, they're sort of adrift, and they're looking at TikTok and other places and getting sort of worse advice. So I don't trust any of it. It makes me laugh out loud. Well, look, you know, in your experience 10 years ago, you would have covered that story more seriously. Now you look at it and go, come on.
Okay, so what does that have to do with freedom, though? When we talk about these organizations and they're getting together and they're putting out these indexes, they're basing world policy, trying to justify it. Does that not make an impact?
You know, I lived in Italy for a couple years, right after school, after college, and I remember the government fell, and someone said, "Relax, the government falls in Italy all the time," right? So where you are in the world, where you hear terms will make a difference. For us in America, you hear the term freedom, and you expect to see the rule of law, to see sort of a fair dealing. Except right now in America, you look up and you say, none of that seems to be working, and yet the Freedom Index is saying X or Y, right? In this moment, freedom to me is most important, perhaps, in expressing what you believe confidently. And most people won't. You know, our kids and others, they're afraid of the environment around them. And that's our problem in America, but now you see it more and more around Europe and the European Union and other places too.
Retaliation from their peers, retaliation from their government. Either way, the key word is their retaliation. So they're kind of living in fear, not necessarily freedom. I want to look at these rankings. I find it very interesting. New Zealand, talking about credibility, they were ranked number two. Two in 2022. But during the pandemic, they had this zero tolerance policy. They locked down everyone. First to do this mandatory vaccine, which now they've repealed.
Right.
So how can they still maintain such a high ranking in the Freedom Index when they were one of the people that had least amount of freedom for the past 3 years?
Well, that's where you can see how there's a hole in this whole system, because for them, if you don't lock down, you're somehow being unfree, right? In other words, and that may be, Scotty, you sort of made me think a moment ago, and I wish I'd said it sooner, this Freedom Index is about control. Right? New Zealand exerted control. What they mean is when they can control what's happening to us, the government, then they'll tell us when we have freedom. As opposed to freedom is kind of messy, right? Freedom is people that say obnoxious things and you say, I don't really want to stand next to him if he says that. But you don't bring the government down and you don't usually fire them and you don't usually ostracize them. That's part of learning. So look, I think that was really funny that New Zealand got them. I mean, it's like eight people there, more sheep, you know, the joke, more sheep than people. And they're to tell us after the lockdown. As you said, it was brutal. Australia, same way. That doesn't look like freedom from where we sit and where most Americans and others are looking at it.
I mean, it's common sense to think if it's freedom, if the government's telling you you're free, are you really free is question for it. You know, what do you think of you when you hear a leader of one country saying that they are going to engage and involve themselves in another country's foreign policy, all in this name of freedom? I mean, this is the excuse we hear. We've heard it for generations, but currently that's being used to justify other countries getting involved.
Well, and back when we've talked about this before, I sat on the Republican National Committee. I was chairman of the Missouri Republican Party, and I got in that room with 168 others, and you suddenly realize that a lot of these people didn't understand what national sovereignty was. This was now 2013, so people still were coming off the wars, right? Building nations, bringing our values abroad. That's a failed experiment now. We all see now that that failed dramatically, not only in cost of dollars, but cost of blood. And so when people say, oh, let us figure out for other parts of the world. Again, I lived in Indonesia for a year, too. And Indonesia, they have no time for the Western values that we're pushing on them, even though there are lots of modernization, lots of things going on. It's years ago now. But when it comes to this idea that my sovereign nation is going to teach yours or another country's, it never works. And in fact, it's a form of totalitarianism for the EU, for example. And by the way, it's happening all the time. The EU is forcing Africa to act in ways, and we don't. You know why we don't hear about it? Because EU doesn't want us to hear about it. And frankly, it's racist. You know, there's all black people down there. They're being forced to live in the way that they're told from their freedom, not from the people's. It's a terrible system. The best system is more sovereignty for the nations and for local communities. They'll figure out what freedom is for them. Sometimes we'll point to it and say that doesn't look as free. We'd like a freer market. We'd like a freer expression. But that's not, nobody can manage that for other people.
Okay, so then does the United States still have the right to actually label itself the land of the free, considering everything right now that we are battling here in the U.S., and we tell the world we're the land of the free? Is that really true?
Yeah. Well, I always like to put it this way. There's always room to improve. But you look around the world, I think we still have the best operating system. The Constitution, the founding values, we do have to get back to it. We don't need to get a new Constitution. We need to get people that are more more in tune with that. But I think that term is aspirational anyway, right? And I think, but ultimately, our Constitution and the rule of law, it's one of the reasons why the fight over 1776, people hear it, and 1619. 1776, it became for us a way we thought about who we were. That's how I think of the land of the free. But boy, oh boy, you and I have talked. I am a lawyer, too, and I represent some of the guys that are in jail for January 6th. When you see how the rule of law is misapplied, there's no other term than political prisoners. That's in America. That's not even in Gitmo. That's in America. So you say, how is that working out? But again, I go back to our operating system is great. We just have to do a better job of getting there. We have to do a better job of fighting for that system. And more people have to have a chance to speak up and be heard, because a lot of folks like you and me, we're lucky to talk like this. Many people just say, I'll just stay quiet.
Ah, it's More like user error, I feel like, on that side. Well, thank you, Ed Martin, president of the Philadelphia Eagles Forum, for being with us today on this subject.
Great to be with you.
Now, after the break, a leading professor from Tehran disputes Iran's ranking of 6th from the bottom of the list and says if Iran was actually closer allies with the West, its ranking would be much higher. Stay tuned to the 360 View.
Counter the Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Is your media a reflection of reality? In a world transformed, what will make you feel safer? Isolation or community? Are you going the right way or are you being led somewhere? Which direction? What is truth? What is fake? In a world corrupted, you need to descend. So join us in the depths, or remain in the shallows.
Здесь земля отверженных. Нам уже от нее не деться. Ветер степной пахнет смертью, мятой и медом. Мы пьем за любовь, за правду, за наше счастливое детство. Пьем, не чокаясь, из гильз от гранатомета.
Вся русская литература – это война. Поэзия там, где больно.
Победим, у нас нет других вариантов. Иначе эта вся свора размотает нас на тряпки. Так что нам придется побеждать.
Welcome back to the 360 View with me, your host, Scotty Nell Hughes. We're talking today about the Freedom Index and whether or not the ranking is really fair and as impartial as it claims to be, or whether it is just another tool of American foreign policy. Joining me now is Professor Mohammad Mirandi, professor at the University of Tehran and a political analyst. Professor, is the Freedom Index really just a measure of who is playing nice with the ruling elites in Washington?
In my opinion, yes, that's the problem. The Freedom Index is a tool, basically, that is used in order to put pressure on countries that the United States and its allies have problems with, and to make those countries that are close to the United States feel more comfortable. It's not just the Freedom Index. It's a host of different human rights organizations and other institutions that are used by the United States. They're funded by the United States, or they're funded by major corporations that are close to the US government. And therefore, you'll see that dictatorships in West Asia, North Africa, or in Latin America and Africa and Europe that are close to the United States or have been close to the United States in the past, they will get a favorable portrayal. Yet countries that have policies that are in conflict with that of the United States and other NATO countries, they will be presented in a very negative light.
So how do other countries look at these indexes? Do they really look at them and try to improve their society based on the metrics?
Not that I know of. I don't think any serious person in Iran or in other parts of the world that I deal with at conferences or in seminars or think tanks, I've never seen anyone take these into account. These are largely for media, they're for schools, school projects, universities, largely in the United States. They're a means of propaganda. I don't take any of these seriously at all. And I don't think anyone serious in the United States really takes them to be that important either. However, since the United States is it, and parts of Europe, but the United States more than anyone else, since it is a very propagandized country, they tend to believe a lot of what celebrities say, a lot of what TV says, television says, mainstream websites say. So the United States is an exception to the rule, but outside the United States, I haven't seen these indexes taken seriously. Again, that's though anecdotal.
Do you think it is a realistic expectation to think there could be an accurate freedom index? And what organization would have enough nonpartisan credibility to facilitate?
That's very difficult to say because different countries have different situations. They're in different parts of the world. They're comprised of different populations. Some of them are much more complex societies than others. On the other hand, there are countries that have the problem of external pressure. In the case of Iran or Venezuela, the United States tries to use political parties to undermine the state. It uses propaganda, TV outlets, cyber armies to influence internal politics. So, for example, in the case of Iran, where the United States and EU countries have over 200 TV stations that they fund directly or indirectly that are against Iran, many more TV stations that actually exist inside Iran. And they have many websites and thousands of trolls, many of them in Albania. Big tech cooperates with the United States. When the United States directs its wrath and its negative propaganda towards Iran or countries like Cuba and Venezuela, it's virtually impossible to compare them to any other country because very few countries in the world have a foreign power or foreign powers trying to influence their internal politics in the way in which the United States does. And I don't even want to include terrorist organizations that are used to undermine civility in countries.
What role is the media and freedom of the press playing in whether or not a country is considered free?
Well, for example, in Iran, we have a very large number of news agencies, and we have many websites that are affiliated to different political parties. They attack the president, they attack the administration, they criticize the leader, they criticize parliament. Those who support the president or the administration, they defend him. These exist, and there are quite a few of them. But the national radio and television in the country is different. It's much more mild. The criticism directed towards the administration is much more polite. It does criticize, but not nearly as harshly as do these websites. But that media, that government media, is a part of the Constitution. And the Constitution, which was passed 43 years ago, basically says that radio and TV must be in the hands of the state, because it was believed back then that the private sector would use the media to gain control for a liberal elite. In other words, it would gradually the wealthy would gain control of the means to control public opinion. That is in the Iranian constitution. Even if the government right now wants to privatize the television, they can't do so. So how do you gauge this in some index? Each country has its own experiences. It has its own constitution. Those constitutions were created within a particular context. Since the Iranian state television or radio and television is of this particular nature, does that mean that the index for freedom in Iran is low? No, because websites that exist in Iran, they occupy offices, they are very harsh, they have their own online interviews and programs. They're very activists, and after Corona, especially, overwhelmingly, people are online. So it's very difficult to gauge what, since CNN is private owned, but it's not in the hands of the public. It's in the hands of a billionaire, or the media in the United States are in the hands of a handful of billionaires or big tech. Does that make it more democratic than a state-owned TV network? Not necessarily.
I want to talk NGOs. And what role do you see NGOs play in these type of indexes?
Well, foreign NGOs, I think, shouldn't be a part of any index or freedom index. The United States uses NGOs in Iraq to create instability. The Americans have roughly 2,000 NGOs there, and they use them as tools whenever they want to undermine a government that they don't like. And the same is true in other parts of the world. In Iran, the United States had numerous NGOs until about 14 years ago. And those NGOs had a very negative impact on Iranian society. So when there's an NGO that is influenced by a foreign country or by a foreign power, especially a major power like the United States, then I think that it shouldn't be included in any freedom index. In fact, I think such organizations impede freedom in society because they create mistrust towards NGOs altogether.
Do you think the Freedom Index served more like a target on the back of certain nations? You know, the lower down you are, look out, here comes some regime change attempts.
Yes, the Freedom Index is used to demonize countries. It's used to put pressure on countries, just like Human Rights Watch. Human Rights Watch or Amnesty International may do good things, but on the whole, they're very close to Western governments. Where does their funding come from? Their funding comes from institutions and organizations that are close to the state, that are close to Western political establishment. The head of Amnesty USA in the past was a close friend of Hillary Clinton. So when Amnesty International, the Human Rights Watch, whose boss has been in charge for decades, when they are so closely affiliated to the state, even though they may do some good things here and there, then of course the things like the Freedom Index or US-supported NGOs are nothing more than mere tools of Western governments to put pressure on their antagonists.
Thank you, Professor Mohammad Mirandi from the University of Tehran. Freedom, a term often used in speak by those in power, but lost in action. A society based on freedom is supposed to grant those who exist within it the ability to live their lives and do as they wish, without interference from others or hindrance from their government. Total freedom, to some, might be considered utopia, but the reality would probably be more like a nightmare. An orderly existence within a land can only occur with the presence of carefully crafted laws and rules meant to protect its citizens. Laws are crafted with the concept of promoting the good while discouraging the bad. Responsibility and personal choice are the priority. Now, ironically, if good laws are in existence, then freedom is allowed to thrive within the boundaries set. However, bad laws can give the freedom for individuals to do wrong. What is even more dangerous is when the concept of freedom is used to justify actions which can lead up to war. Sadly, this is the concept most often used when a country has refused to submit to the wishes of the West, and invoking freedom upon the people of that land becomes the major talking point. By invoking the concept of freedom, those waging the battle hope to stop further inquiry into the more nefarious motivation. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.